Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We magnify you this morning. We don't look at the problem. We look at the promise. We look at our Father, our God, who's done everything for us. Jesus, who accomplished it all, who provided the salvation package that we have, that we stand in Jesus' name. Forget getting to go to heaven, healing, provision, deliverance. Thank you, Father, that you have made freedom completely available to us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. And Jesus, we need you. I need you. Lord, I need you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I know that without you I can do nothing, but I'm never without you. And with you I can do all things. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, I'm never without you. Praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You're already seated, awesome. Okay. I didn't even know.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just thinking about what you were saying. You know, he said he will never leave us or forsake us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I used to pray, God, come and be with me. And then I read that scripture and I was like, oh, you know what? He's with me all the time. Yeah. He's with me. He would never leave me or forsake me. So if you don't have him, I brought him with me. Mm-hmm. He's here. Amen. And I'm sure if you're born again, he is with you too. So we Amen. Have him. Praise God. Isn't that good news? We are never alone. Hallelujah. Well, I have a couple of things that Rick asked me to announce. And so I just want to remind everyone, we are getting one of the rooms over here across. We started working on the cry room, and that's for mothers and or fathers who have young children or grandparents. If you have a young child with you, since we don't have a nursery right now, but you know, maybe they're just a little active or whatever,
or crying.
If you want to, you can take them out to the cry room, and there's some toys in that room. You can hear the service. They can't hear, you know, you can hear us from in there, but they won't disturb anyone. And then you'll be welcome to be with us and have them be comfortable as well. And then across from the cry room, we are working on a nursery / kids room. We're starting there. And so at Easter, there will probably be visiting families or maybe grandparents that you'll have your kids visiting, and maybe there'll be young children. And so from 6 weeks to fourth grade, we're going to have that room available. And we're just going to have it set up, and we're going to have a great time. Mm-hmm. But we want kids to be able to be here. God's a generational God, and he's not done with us. Amen? So
we're not done.
Yeah, we're not done, but there's something that you can do. And one of the things you can do, if you feel so led, is that you can tell me if you would like to help serve in that area. Okay, we're not asking you to start the curriculum or do anything like that. We just need able-bodied people. We need two people in there. But by law, we have to do a background check. It's just a little mini background check. And so if you would like to serve in that on Easter or even coming up, maybe you can't serve on Easter, but maybe in the days ahead, if you would please come see me, I'll give you a form to fill out and we'll have that ready. And I promise you, it'll bless you when you serve. Okay? Hey, do you know the word says that it's more blessed to give than receive? Amen. So you will be blessed. And then one other announcement that I have is that we are so excited about this. We are excited to announce that we are going to begin a prayer minister training on Tuesday, March 26th at 1:30 p.m. These are going to be two-hour sessions that will run for 5 consecutive weeks. And we're encouraging all current altar workers, board members, elders, and intercessors. We are encouraging you guys to attend. And also, for anyone interested in learning how to effectively pray for others, you are welcome as well. Do you know that Rick and I had a church before, and part of our church ministry team, we took them through this course every year. And I will tell you, it's not like you don't know how to pray, but I will tell you, it's very good to be refreshed in that. And just like our brother
Gary Winters
uh-huh. was talking about role playing, that is something that we will do in this class as well. We're going to teach you how to do that. And so
we've seen people healed during role playing.
Yes, it's the most exciting thing. We saw a lady that was healed. She was born without an eardrum, and she was in her 60s. And we were role playing, just practicing laying hands on people. And you know, we had been through this class, and she got a new eardrum at 60 years old. She was born without one. So I'm going to tell you, it's effective, it's awesome, and so we are encouraging you guys to be a part of that, and we look forward to seeing you there. There's a sign-up sheet outside at the info desk, and
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, honey. Praise God. How's everybody doing? Amen. You know, Rebecca was talking about the prayer minister training that we did at our previous church. There was a lady there who was, she was probably in her late 70s, and she had never been through training like that, had never really prayed for anybody, you know, like that. And she went through the training, and just like the next week after the training was completed, there was a man who was like an engineer who did a lot of engineer type stuff. Anyway, he had injured his back, and he was in a lot of pain. And anyway, so she laid hands on him during service, and he was healed. Right there. I mean, the pain left. So praise God. You know, prayer works. Amen. Prayer works. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get into your word today. Father, I thank you for touching our hearts with your word this morning and changing our lives. I thank you, Father God, freedom will come this morning. Answers will come. Revelation will come. In Jesus' name, amen. Just mention a couple of things. One, today after the service, we're going to take about a 15-minute break. And following that, we're going to do this impact meeting you've been hearing us talk about, okay? And just going to let you know some of the awesome things that have happened, some of the things that are just immediately ahead of us with the church. And now, there won't be a business meeting today. I think we've announced that. A couple of the board members are out of the country, not just out of town, out of the country. So because of that, we won't be taking questions or comments today. But we would love for you to write down your questions or comments you have and submit those in writing. We'll have a box in the foyer. It's not out there now, but by Wednesday night, there'll be a locked box in the foyer. You can put your questions in, and those will get answered in writing, okay? Praise God. I just want to encourage you again to turn on your expectation. Amen? I expect God to do things when we come to church. You know, I don't just come just to check a block and say, hey, I've been to church. Amen? I come to be changed myself. Amen? I'm not here just to, like I said, check a block. I want to be changed. I think I said this last week, but it's not, let's see if God shows up. God's here. If two or more gather together in his name, he's there in the midst of them. So God is here. Amen. Jesus said, again, if two of you are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. So anything that you could have done with Jesus standing right beside of you, you can receive today. It's quite a thought. It's quite a thought. Jesus himself said, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? So we aren't at a disadvantage today. We're actually at an advantage. It's hard to get our minds around that, like I said. But man, we need to get our minds around that. You're complete in him. Yeah. Amen? So last week, I started talking about unmerited favor. And I was talking about how God is relevant. Y'all remember that? Yeah. God is relevant. You know, it's good for you to be a Christian. It's good for you to be a Christian. Amen. Thank you. God's relevant right now, not just at the end of life when we want to go to heaven and miss hell. I mean, that's good. But now, right now, today, listen to this. I'm going to read some stuff to you here about just how it's good for you to be a Christian. Over 1,200 studies and 400 reviews of literature have shown a strong relationship between faith and regular church attendance and a number of positive health benefits, including protection from and faster recovery from illness. In other words, Christians get sick less and get better faster. Now think of this, 1,200 studies and 400 reviews have shown this. Faith also has a positive impact on mental and emotional health and results in well-being, happiness, and life satisfaction. A lot of people think, you know, if you're a Christian, if you like really believe this stuff, there's something a little wrong up here. The studies do not bear that out. And there's even more of a correlation for Spirit-filled Christians that pray in the Spirit. It's good for you to be a Christian. Amen. So I mentioned the emotional health things, but also hope and optimism are more prominent among Christians. That makes sense, doesn't it? Purpose and meaning in life, of course, right? Higher self-esteem, better adaptation to bereavement, greater social depression. You know, my mother died a couple days after Christmas in 2022. My dad died in May of 2023. But you know, I know where they are. They are not just in my past. They are in my future. You know, I don't grieve like the lost grieve. I'm actually able to minister to other people at funerals and things because I know where they're at. They're good. Amen. Y'all, does that make sense? Of course I miss them. I'm not saying that, but man, they are good. My parents were both born again. They're awesome. They're seeing Jesus. They're in heaven. They're doing great. So our best days are always ahead of us. Amen. Yep. Greater social support. Less loneliness. This is what these studies and things have shown. Lower rates of depression. Less anxiety, less psychosis, and fewer psychotic tendencies. Christian faith has proven positive impacts on your physical body and your mental and emotional health. That's awesome. Here's a quote from a former president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists. Okay, the Royal College of Psychiatrists is the group in Great Britain that establishes the educational standards for psychologists, all the mental health professionals, psychiatrists, and also they license them and all this kind of stuff, okay? Listen to this quote by this guy, former president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists. He said, if it was anything other than religion and spirituality causing these health benefits, the government and health providers will be doing their utmost to promote it. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm telling you, being a Christian is good for you. And the government and health care providers, and I know there's probably health care providers in here, and you're different, okay? Other people. They may not promote it, but I'm going to tell you, it's good for you. Amen? You know, they know the benefits, but they don't promote it because it points people back to God and a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, God is relevant. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 1, and I'm going to look at verses 2 through 4 here. Man, every one of these scriptures is amazing. Grace and peace. Grace, what God, Jesus has done for you, what God has done for you, and he's done it all. Grace and peace, wholeness, are multiplied. Grace and peace, let me read it before I explain it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Again, grace is what Jesus has done for you. He's done it all, the salvation package, okay? And peace, wholeness, is multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Not knowing God, relationship with God. You know, getting saved in the end, there's relationship with God to walk into. You can know him better and better and better. And as you do that, grace and peace are multiplied in your life. Yeah. That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome. So, man, it's good to get to know God better. If being a Christian is good for you, then the better you know God, the better it gets. And there's a relationship with God to have. Right? I'm not done. I'm not there yet. I want to know him better in an hour than I do now. How about you? Amen. So, knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What are you missing out on regarding life and godliness? Nothing. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge, there it is, knowing him, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Divine power. I had a friend of mine, there might be a nuclear physicist in here that understands this better than I do, but I had a good friend of mine who was a nuclear physicist that worked for the Department of Energy. And he told me one time, theoretically, see if I can remember this right. He said that they've calculated that if you took all of the, Einstein's theory of relativity, I think it says that through nuclear fusion, you can take energy and create matter. Okay? You can take energy and create matter. So he said they had calculated that if you took all the energy resources of the earth, all the solar energy, all the hydroelectric power, all the oil resources, the tides, everything you could think of, energy, all the energy of the earth, and you could focus it in a moment, you could create about 1 cubic centimeter of matter. God spoke and created the earth and the universe, all the planets. Think of the divine power. And he loved you enough to die for you and to give you all these promises, and through his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Man, what a deal. What a deal. What a deal. He loves us. Verse 4, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Remember, we talked about that divine power just a minute ago. That divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You can partake of the life of God. Here, now. Being a Christian is good for you. He's relevant now. Amen. It's good for you to be a Christian. You can partake of the life of God now. And it goes on and says, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You know, corruption's caused by evil desires. So again, the better we know God, the more we correct our carnal thinking and evil desires, and the more we leave that stuff behind us and manifest the good things God has for us. Amen. Deliverance, healing, provision. Mm-hmm. Amen. This is good news. God's relevant now. I talked about the salvation. This is kind of a recap of last week. I'll get past the recap eventually. But, you know, Peter, the Apostle Peter, said as long as he was alive, it was important to stir you up and remind you. Yes. Amen. We need to be reminded. He said even if you're established in the faith, we need to be reminded anyway. So, recap. Recap. So, last week I talked about the salvation package. We saw how the same Greek word, the Greek word sozo, is translated as healing, provision, or prosperity, deliverance from all types of oppression, depression, possession, whatever, and so on, as well as forgiveness of sins. Okay? Now, somebody had mentioned to me that this word sozo, some cult, I think, has stolen that word and is using it to, that they call themselves sozo or something. I know nothing about that. I don't know. All I know is there are these weird things out there that try to usurp stuff from Christianity and try to masquerade themselves as something they're not. I don't know anything about that. I'm stealing it back. Actually, I'm not stealing it back. I'm just claiming it's ours already. Amen. Sozo is a Greek word. Jesus used it, and it means forgiveness. It means healing. It means deliverance, and it means provision. And it all belongs to you. It's part of your salvation package. Amen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. So this is amazing. See, for all the promises of God, let's take a few minutes and list the promises not included here. Go. None. All the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen. Now, if he said yes, is he going to come back and say no? No. So Jesus has already said yes to all the promises. You don't have to wonder if he's going to say yes to you or not. He's already said yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. You don't have to wonder if he's going to say, Jesus, are you going to heal me? Yes, already has. It already belongs to you. Jesus, are you going to provide for me? Yes, already has. It's already done. It's in the bank, so to speak. It belongs to you already. Amen. We need to realize it belongs to us. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine back home, and we went to church with him. I heard he had some health issues, Sam. And Sam, if he's watching this, hello, Sam. But he had some health issues, so I was talking to him, and I was talking to him about some of this stuff. This was just a couple of days ago. And I told him, I was explaining this very thing to him. I said, you know, it's easier if you've got $1 million in the bank to just make a withdrawal than to try to get $1 million in the bank and then make a withdrawal. Does that make sense? Well, you've got $1 million in the bank, so to speak. Are you tracking with me? All this belongs to you, forgiveness, provision, healing, deliverance, all it's in the bank. And faith is like our withdrawal. That's how we withdraw it, by faith. That's what I was telling Sam. Amen. So all the promises of God are in him. Let me read it right. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Man, it glorifies God when you receive the promises.
That's right.
He gets no glory out of you suffering.
That's right.
Amen.
Does it glorify, y'all have kids and grandkids, maybe some of you have great grandkids. Does it glorify you to see them suffer? No way. No way. I remember our daughter Madison, who was here when we did the baby dedication, when she was about 3 years old. Rebecca, maybe it was me, I forgot. One of us told her, don't touch the stove, it's hot. So what'd she do? Touches the stove. So she burns her, she got the three little blisters on her fingers now, right? She's, you know. And it didn't bless me that she did that. I would have much rather her obeyed the word. Amen. Just done what we said to do because it was to her benefit. Sometimes God might be telling us to do something and we don't understand it, you know. But if we just do what he said, it's always to our benefit.
Yes.
It's always to lead us into more of the grace of God. Always. Always. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. That's a present tense reality. You don't have to get God to do it for you. And I want us to get this mindset that the salvation package belongs to you. Why is that important? Again, because you don't have to get God to do something for you. He's already done it. And all we need to do is receive what he's done. Now here's a challenge for you. I'm going to challenge you. From now on, when you hear the word saved or salvation, our mind tends to think forgiveness of sins. I want you to on purpose think that is forgiveness of sins and healing and provision and deliverance. Train yourself to think of saved and salvation different than just forgiveness of sins and getting to go to heaven. Are y'all tracking with me? Because it includes all of that. Jesus paid for all of that. You're as healed as you are saved.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Amen. You're as provided for as you are forgiven. Provision belongs to you. Amen. Deliverance, all this belongs to us. We're not trying to get him to do it. We just need to realize, man, it's mine. I'm going to receive it by faith. And really, all these things are the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God is what I'm talking about. What did we do to deserve this? Nothing. Nothing. It's the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. The Bible calls that grace. Amen? Grace is God's part and faith is our part. Let's look at Ephesians 2:8 here. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved. Okay, there's that word, saved. What's that mean? Forgiveness, healing, provision, deliverance. For by grace you've been forgiven, healed, provided for, and delivered through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Even the faith needed to receive it, he gave you. What a deal. God did everything through Christ for us. And now by faith we can receive it. We don't have to get God to say yes to anything because he's already said yes to everything.
Amen. That's right. Come on. Well, we have to have faith.
Faith. Yeah. But he gives you the faith. By faith you've been saved, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Look, you know, you don't have to get faith. I talked about this last week. I'm still in a recap. I'll get us out of this introduction eventually. Romans 12:3 says you've been given the measure of faith. Matthew 14, remember Peter walked on water with little faith.
That's right.
Peter walks on the water and begins to sink. Jesus grabs and said, oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? I guess a little faith enough to walk on water.
That's right.
Right? Amen. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I've said this before, the word is the pathway to power. Look at what the angel told Mary here in Luke 1. Luke 1:37. Yep, there it is. This is from the Amplified Classic Bible. Look at this is the angel talking to Mary when she's conceiving Jesus. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. The word of God contains power. I'm going to tell you something. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word itself that you're reading, the promise itself, contains the faith, contains the power for its fulfillment. Are y'all tracking with me? The word itself contains the power for its fulfillment. What do you tell her? For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Romans 10:17 again says, faith, make a note of that. Faith, somebody told me this morning, they said they wrote down these scriptures I was saying and went and checked them out. Good. Good. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by the word of God. The word itself contains the faith, the power for its fulfillment. What a deal. What a deal. And it takes grace and faith. Grace is his part. It's what he's done. He's already done it all. And it takes faith to receive it. He just keeps piling the power on. Okay, here's the power to receive it. It's in the word. Just get a hold of the word. Believe, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Here's the power, here's the faith. He wants you to get it. Do you see this? God's not withholding anything from you. He's trying to get everything to you. He's made everything available to you. He's got the table set. We just need to eat. Yeah, if you made a steak dinner for somebody, you made a nice steak dinner, had, baked potato and salad and bread and, whatever, peas, maybe some okra. Y'all like okra? So I got a hand over here, some applause. Would it bless you if your guest showed up and just ate the ketchup? It might not bless you that they even want a ketchup for your steak. What do you want ketchup put on my steak for? That might not bless you either. No, it wouldn't bless you. Think about God sets this table that includes all this stuff, and we just want to partake a part of it? I'm going to eat it all. How about you? And there's plenty for all of us. There's no shortage. No shortage whatsoever. So, by grace, he's provided this. He's set the table. It's up to us to eat. We need to, by faith, step up to the table and eat. Amen. Begin to receive what belongs to us. Faith is our response to what God's already done. It's the hand we use to reach out and take it. Amen. Now, I said this before, but our biggest hindrance to receiving anything from God is that we think there's a hindrance. Jesus is easy to receive from. Hebrews 13 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that true? Of course it is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So think about how he was yesterday in the Bible. People would come up to him, blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus didn't just assume anything. He asked blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Boom, done. The centurion comes up and says, my servant's sick. You don't have to come to the house. Y'all know the story. If you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. Done. How hard? Jesus was easy to receive from. Jairus comes to Jesus. My daughter lays at the point of death. Come and heal her. If you come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. He meets them at the point of their faith. Think of that. The centurion said, speak the word. Jairus says, lay hands on her. Okay. He wants to get the answer to you. Y'all see that? He wants to get the answer to you. So he tells Jairus, of course, then Jesus gets interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. Wasn't hard for her to receive either. She pressed through the crowd and gets healed. But in the process of time there, Jairus' daughter dies. The report comes back. She's dead. No need to bother the master anymore. He tells Jairus, fear not, only believe. Goes and raises her from the dead. Jesus is easy to receive from is the point here. Okay? So that's yesterday. Hebrews 13 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has he suddenly become hard to receive from today? No. See, again, We need to get our thinking in line with the Word.
Amen.
Let's agree with the Word to make it easy for us to receive from Jesus. How about that?
Yes.
Yeah. I've mentioned this before. You know, Jesus said we'd have faith as a small child. There's been studies showing that people basically were born to believe. Unbelief is learned behavior. Let's just be who we were born to be. Let's be believers. Y'all good? You know, I used to think faith was something I used to get God to respond to me. Maybe you've thought this way as well. I thought, well, man, if I confess the Word enough, if I study enough, if I go to church enough, if I give enough, if I live holy, if I do. Now, those are good things to do, okay? I'm not saying they're not. Not saying we shouldn't do those things. But if I'm doing them to try to get God to respond to me, I'm missing it. Because God's already moved. I don't need to get God to move. But what I was thinking, if I had some quota to fill up, if I prayed enough, confessed enough, read enough, whatever, went to church enough. Oh, I missed church last week. Guess I'm not going to get healed. That's got nothing to do with it. The wrong question is, have I done enough? The wrong question is, do I deserve it now? Have I done enough to deserve it? The right question is, did Jesus do enough? The right question is, did Jesus deserve it? Okay? I'm born again. I'm in Him. If He deserves it, then so do I.
Amen.
It's mine.
Right. Amen.
Amen? Unmerited favor. What a deal. So if all my works would cause God to move, that's works, not faith. That's the law. Look at Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness, if right standing with God comes through the law, comes through works, then Christ died in vain. If I'm relying on my works to receive what He's provided by grace, I am actually setting aside the grace of God. It's good to read the Bible. I'm not saying don't. I encouraged you earlier, man, you need to know God. The better you know Him, the more grace and peace are going to be multiplied to you. The more you're going to partake of His divine nature. We need to do those things. But we need to do those things out of relationship and love instead of out of, God, I'm going to get you to move for me. I'm going to twist your arm until you give me what I want. Amen? I don't want to set aside or frustrate the grace of God. What do you have to do to earn something that already belongs to you? Nothing. Works don't add anything. I remember one time, this was years ago, I was feeling condemned about something. I forgot what it was. Probably something I'd done to Rebecca. And probably it was. And anyway, I was feeling bad about it. And just this question came up in me. You know, Rick, what can you do to add to what Jesus did for you? I thought, well, nothing. And then the next thing I heard was, then why do you think you can do something to take away from it? Amen? I don't need to add anything. I can't take away anything. He's done it. I receive it by faith. Amen? Thinking we have to do things to get God to move, to heal us, to provide for us, to deliver us. Think we have to do things really reveals we don't understand grace. The unmerited favor of God. There's a balance between grace and faith. Let's go back to Ephesians. Everything I'm talking about really is encapsulated in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace, we've read this earlier, for by grace you have been saved. So there's that word again, saved. What's that mean? Forgiven, healed, provided for, delivered. Okay? Not just forgiveness of sins, but all this other stuff too, right? This salvation package. For by grace you've been saved, all those things, through faith. So grace provided this salvation package, and we receive it through faith. And even the faith's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, verse 9 says. Not by works. We're not receiving from God by works. Now, works aren't bad. I'm not against them. We ought to read the Bible, get to know God better. Let's just put it that way. Just work on getting to know God better. Work on getting a better revelation of His love for you. Amen. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. Our works are not getting it done. It's by grace through faith. Amen. There's a balance between the two. And this applies to everyone. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm the exception. Sorry, you're not. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation. Oh, there's that word again. Hold on. Forgiveness, healing, provision, deliverance. For the grace of God that brings forgiveness, healing, provision, and deliverance has appeared to all men. So you're not exempted.
Amen.
That's good news. Yeah. Amen. If God only gave grace to those who are living right, now think about this. Come, let us reason together. If God only gave grace to those who are living right, then would it be grace? No. Because it's undeserved, unmerited, unearned. So if he started placing conditions, well, you missed church last week. Now it's not grace anymore. Because now it's deserved, it's earned, it's merited. But that's not grace. Grace is undeserved, unearned, unmerited. Yeah, it's by, we're reading the word. Thank you. Grace is by definition unmerited, unearned, undeserved. You know, some people hear this kind of message and think, man, he's just giving us a license to sin. I think people are doing pretty good without this. I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm giving you understanding of how to receive. Man, Jesus came. The first message Jesus preached was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means change your mind. Why? Why change your mind? Why change the things you've been focusing on? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. This salvation package I've come to deliver is here. The provision, the forgiveness you've been looking for, the healing, the deliverance you've been looking for is here. Change your mind. Stop chasing whatever you've been chasing. Now chase this. If we get a hold of the grace of God and realize what belongs to us and that we can actually receive it by grace, we'll do everything but sin. We'll chase after God as hard as we can. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is an invitation to love God even more, to grow closer to God, to dig in. To receive what he's done for you. Is y'all chinking, thinking, chinking? I can speak English, I can. Has y'all's thinking been challenged any? Can I challenge it just a little bit more? Grace is God's part. Faith is our response to what he's done. We can only receive what's been provided by grace. Key concept. So I'm going to read some scripture to you here. Let's go to Mark 11. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. I'm sure you've seen these before. Jesus is talking. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Okay, look at verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever. All right, let me ask a question. This is where I challenge your thinking. Y'all ready? I'm telegraphing it. Can I believe to rob a bank and not get caught? No. It says whatever. Why not? Because theft and robbery is not provided for by grace. Jesus didn't pay the price for that. Can I believe, now, let's use somebody else, not me. We'll use another example. Can someone, let's read these scriptures again. Now think about this. Go back to verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, whatever he says. Next verse says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them, whatever things you ask. Okay, can some guy over here believe for another person's wife? No, because adultery has not been provided for by grace. Jesus didn't pay for that.
That's right.
So whatever's been provided for by grace, we can receive.
That's right.
That's whatever things you ask. Yeah. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, everything you need for life and godliness, we saw it in 1 Peter there, is yours. Mm-hmm. Right? Everything you need for life and godliness is provided. Amen? Y'all good? Praise God. I'm trying to decide if I want to cover one more thing or not. It's y'all's fault. I said how, you know, my faith is my response to God's grace. You know, if I have a need, there's promises of God to meet that need. And I receive the answer by faith. That's the grace of God, the promise, okay, he provided. I receive it by grace, by faith. And again, we still do things. We still live holy, still go to church, still tithe, give offerings, pray, study, and do God's will for our lives. Amen? Again, I said this earlier, it's a response to God's grace. Faith receives what God has provided by grace. And I really believe when you understand this, it starts taking the struggle out of life. It starts taking the struggle out of life. It's really a response to his love. It's a response to his love. Man, if somebody loves you, it's an attractive force. You know, Colossians, I think it's 3:14, tells us to put on love because it's the bond of perfection. Love's a unifying force. It's a unifying force. It's an attractive force. Jeremiah 31:3 says, with loving kindness I have drawn you. That's God talking to you. It's an attractive force. So when we understand, really one of the most important revelations we can get is God's love for us. It just draws you to him. That's why when you understand his grace and how much he loves you to provide this, it just draws you to him. It's an awesome, awesome thing. And there's something else about this love of God that I want to point out. We're going to the same scripture in two versions. I'm going to read this in the New King James and then in the King James. So let's look at this here. For the love of Christ, we're just talking about the love of God. For the love of Christ compels us. You could say propels us forward. The love of Christ compels us or propels us forward because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. The part I want to focus in on is that first part. The love of Christ compels us. It'll propel us forward. Do you see that? All right, look at the same verse in the King James. I love this. You know, the Greek, New Testament written in Greek, it's a very rich language. That's why we have several translations of the Bible, because the Greek is such a rich language. Look at this. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Okay, so one version there says compels us or propels us forward. The other says it constrains us or puts boundaries in our life. Which is it? Both. It's both. It is. Think how awesome this is. You know, Psalm 37:4, I've talked about this before, I forgot which message, but Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean he's Santa Claus. It was last Wednesday, wasn't it? Yeah, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean he's Santa Claus and just, you know, you pull the lever and out pops whatever you want for Christmas or whatever you want from God. It means that as you delight yourself in the Lord, as you focus on him, he replaces the desires of your heart with his desires for your life. Amen. Amen. So the love of Christ, as we focus on and understand his love for us, his love begins to propel us forward. He gives us the desires of our heart. And he propels us forward in a certain direction, so it actually will set boundaries. This is why I'm saying people think, well, grace is a license to sin. Absolutely not. It will propel you forward when you understand his love for you, and not just forward, but in the right direction. Sometimes we wonder, God, what am I supposed to do? One of the best things we can do is maybe stop wondering what you ought to do and start focusing on his love for you, because his love will compel you and constrain you. It'll move you forward in the right direction. That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's look at that again just to cement it in our minds here. For the love of Christ compels us. It propels you forward. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And King James says, for the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, we need a revelation of God's love for us. Of what he's provided for us, this grace package, this salvation package that belongs to you, that he provided because he loves you so much, that's already in the bank. And the word itself, the promises of God, grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge of him. The better you get to know him, the more. Because how can grace and peace be multiplied to you the better you get to know him? Because you get to know him through his word, and his word contains the power, contains the faith for his fulfillment. I don't know how he could have made it any better. It would be tough. Amen. 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 I'm going to close there. Did y'all get anything? Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I do feel the need to just pray for people a little bit here. Let's just all stand. I'm not sure. Rebecca, if you want to come up here with me, I invite you to do that. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Father, I pray that each and every one of us will get a revelation of your love for us in Jesus' name. If you have if you're a baptized Holy Spirit, I encourage you to go ahead and begin to pray in the Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. I've said this before, there's two types of tongues. Sometimes people think anytime you pray in tongues, there needs to be interpretation. There's a prayer language in tongues, and there's also a message to the congregation in tongues. If I stood up and gave a message to the congregation in tongues, that would need an interpretation. But to stand here and just pray in my prayer language, for you to stand there and pray in your prayer language, doesn't require interpretation. We'll teach on the Holy Spirit. Rebecca's got something, and we'll make these things clear. Go ahead.
The scripture earlier, and I just wasn't sure about where to put it, but this is where to put it. And it's just a reminder. It's a scripture to remind you. And y'all, please don't be offended. I take this scripture myself. It mentions old age. Okay, I'm older, but I'm not old. And you're older, but you're not old. We're eternal.
That's right.
We're eternal.
Yes.
Okay? We're eternal. So how can we be even 120 and think you're old?
That's right.
Eternity. Okay? But so I want you to listen to this, and I feel like it is a word. I'm going to tell you, God has just put it on my heart that there is gold in the sanctuary.
Yes, absolutely.
The people here, you have lived, but there is so much more that you have on the inside of you that he wants to get out to other people. There's a lost and dying generation that needs you. That needs you. It's
absolutely
not over here. It is not over here. And it's just in my heart. It's a wreck in my heart. So much that God has not done with what you have, but what you have is gold.
Yes.
And a lost and dying
yes
world needs it. And this is a scripture, not Psalms 92:14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing.
Amen.
That is a word for this church. That is a word for you. You need to know. You shall still bear fruit. It's not over. Rick says it. The deal is still on. It is not over. It is not over. You shall be fresh and flourishing. Man, sometimes I just need to be fresh. You know, I feel like, man, I need to flourish here. Y'all, anybody ever felt that way? It's not over. You will bear fruit. They shall still bear fruit in old age.
Praise God.
And they shall be fresh and flourishing. How many of you received that this morning?
Amen.
Father, we receive this word, Father. We receive this word for us today in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that, Lord, just as we are understanding grace, what it means, that, God, we don't have to do anything to get this. You've already provided it for us. And God, we believe it and we receive it into our lives right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. You know, I was talking about love and getting a revelation of His love for us. There's a prayer the Apostle Paul wrote down in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm sure some of you know what it is already. But if you were the Holy Spirit, you were going to speak a prayer to Paul, the Apostle Paul, to record that would be read by billions of people over thousands of years, what would you record? What prayer would you write down? Let me read you, and he recorded a couple prayers, but I'm going to read you one of them. He said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the length, the width, and length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Amen. Amen. Father, I just make that my prayer right now, that we would know your love for us, and as a result, be filled with all the fullness of God, that grace and peace would be multiplied to us in Jesus' name. And right now, Father God, I just feel like faith is riding high. I command bodies to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command physical healing to manifest. I command emotional healing to manifest. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from isolation, freedom from depression right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Father God. I release by faith your power to heal bodies, to bring answers. Answers right now. Just begin again to pray in the Spirit. You know, the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying out mysteries. I just want to open the altar. If the altar ministers would come, I'd appreciate that. Come quickly. I don't want to take a lot of time. But if you want someone to agree with you, okay? Rebecca, you can come as well. If you want someone to agree with you in prayer, I encourage you to come. If you've never been born again, if God forbid you don't know for certain, if you were to die today, and I don't believe that's going to happen, but if you don't know for certain that your destination is heaven, now's the time. Jesus is easy to receive from and easy to receive, okay? If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's for today. The gifts in Romans 11:29 says, "The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He does not take them back." Amen? They're without repentance. They're irrevocable, depending on the translation you read. His gifts and callings are irrevocable. Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift, He said, so He hasn't taken it back. So if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or maybe you have, but haven't received your prayer language, come and be prayed for. Amen? Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Come in Jesus' name.
And just praise remember, if you're coming, if you'll come down the center aisle, and our brother Rich here will direct you to a prayer ministry.
If you need agreement, if you need prayer, come on. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Everybody's healed. Everybody's good. Had somebody give me a testimony in the foyer this morning. I had laid hands on them, I don't know, Wednesday or Sunday last week, and they're healed. Praise God. Yes, that's good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think everybody's good. Everybody's good. That's awesome. That's what we want. Take it out there now. Come on. Come on. Come down. Here, got a couple people coming. Come on. If there's anybody else, come on. Healing belongs to you. Provision belongs to you. God's love, He loves you. Man. Immensely, tremendously. I've said it before, if you were the only one that needed a Savior, He would have done it all just for you. He would have done the whole thing just for you. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord God. Praise You, Father. Just go ahead and continue to pray in the Spirit there where you are. God is relevant. He's relevant to your life right this minute, right now. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Father. We love You, Lord God. We love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us a revelation of Your love for us, a greater, a growing revelation of Your love for us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Glory to God. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. If anybody else needs prayer, come forward. There's some altar ministers that are available to pray. Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I just want to encourage you again, if you have a testimony, let us know about that. Let us know what God has done or is doing in your life. Amen. If it's just a general sense of, hey, I feel better about things in myself, let us know. Amen. I want to know. God is good. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Tell you what, let's do. We'll go ahead and we're going to have the impact meeting here shortly. We'll go ahead and start our 15-minute countdown. We'll resume in about 15 minutes with this impact meeting. So I'll see you back here in 15 minutes. Amen.